And this is still in relation to Steps of Faith, but just a little different angle. So it's still the same theme, but just slightly different angle. Psalm 18, and let's see, starting with verse 31. Emmy, you're going to like this tonight. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? And this is just David exulting in the Lord. It's an awesome psalm. And 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holded me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, which is a matter of running, to overtake your enemies. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed, and that's perseverance, which takes nimbleness of foot. I have wounded them that they are not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, through the feet and the legs. And I love the spirit of David's heart, because he's exulting that God himself is the one who made his feet and gave him this enlargement, this nimbleness, this ability to walk in this new way. And, you know, there's just no glory to his strength or his ability, his athletic prowess or his... you know, even it's his gentleness. You can see that there required a gentleness from God, because maybe David was stubborn. There was a patience there. Just the wonder of God's fathering to bring him to this point where he could walk with such a stride that he could overtake his enemies until they were consumed. Hallelujah. It's just truly the work of God in our lives. And so we've been talking a lot about steps of faith, and we're teaching about it with the kids, and maybe the Lord will enrich our hearts even for them tonight. But it's so cool to see it is the work of God even to give us the feet to take the steps, because we've been looking at the steps, but you have to have feet to step. And so even before we can take a step of faith, we have to have a God who gives us feet.
That's right.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
It's just all glory to God. And so I felt like that psalm just set such a tenor in our hearts to say, yes, Lord. Oh, we just so desire, and let's just pray, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we just so desire for you to be the source of everything in our weakness. Your strength is made perfect. Thank you for weak, maimed feet that cannot move. Lord, the crippled and the maimed, they are the ones who leap in the temple, as we're going to see in these scriptures that come next. But Lord, thank you that in our weakness, in our crippledness, in our inability, like Mephibosheth even, you bring that to mind. Lord, we sit at your table, we leap over a troop, we find ourselves consuming the enemies that so many years have overtaken us with such pride and such complete just destruction in our lives. We have a new hope in our heart, and that hope is Christ revealed. Christ revealed in our feet. Hallelujah. Lord, yes, thank you for that. Thank you for David, who found you in this way and lived you in this way and exalted you in heart and word and song in this way, that we might sing the same song. The same joy would fill us in our walk as we take steps of faith with new feet. So just begin even now, Lord, to impart the spirit of faith that comes from those who put their all in Jesus, who look to him as the fulfillment, to look to him as the source. Just let that spirit permeate our hearts as we continue in your blessed word, Father. The word that is never fails, brings forth even as it's sent. Thank you, Father. Do your work tonight, Lord. Do your eternal work in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. So let's go to John chapter 2 now. We're going to look at a series of scriptures that are going to build upon each other. So we're not going to understand fully why we went to this first scripture until we go to the fullness of the scriptures that follow. We're going to build something here, which the Father gave this in this order. So because it all came in just a few minutes, I trust it's going to make sense by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 2, starting with verse 15. And we're really familiar with this scripture, but it's going to come into play with the next scriptures we go to it. So I'll just start reading at verse 15. And when he had made us... Well, no, let's start out with verse 13. 13-17. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple, and that's important, found in the temple, those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out, all out of the temple, the sheep, the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And so basically, you know, the Son is saying, everything in here is not blessing my Father. I mean, it's not the Son. There's sheep, which represent a false Christ, a false lamb. There's oxen, which represent a wrong offering, a wrong imitation of the service of Christ. So that's flesh doing things. There's the motivation of man doing things for money, I mean, which is gain, which is our increase. So that all is fruit of our flesh. It's just us doing the things of God by our own motivations, our own abilities, and our own desires. And he's driving all that out, saying, this is my Father's house. His Son is supposed to be in here. And anything that's not the Son shouldn't be in the temple. I mean, I know that's very basic, but it's going to make more sense to the feet that we're looking at to come. So let's go now to Matthew 21 and verse 5. Matthew 21 and verse 5. I love this. Oh, this is so good.
It's so juicy.
Hallelujah. Okay, we'll just read. Matthew 21 and verse 5. Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey and a colt and the foal of an ass. Okay, so this king is like what we've been talking about in spiritual order class. He's a lamb. Hallelujah. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Okay, let's just stop there. I just don't know how many of you are familiar with the Habitation series. Probably all of you, but there was just a whole point of emphasis at one time in that sharing where we saw that David had a heart to give God a habitation. And it was prophesied that the seed of David would sit upon the throne and the Son of David would take his place in the temple. Okay, so when they're saying Hosanna to the Son of David, they're really fulfilling a prophecy that that these Jews would understand that the king is coming into his temple. Okay, so it's almost like a type of the ark being carried into the temple. Remember when David took the ark and just, the king's coming in his temple, the ark, the presence of God's going to be in the house. Well, it's the same kind of spirit that's permeating this moment here with these people. They're going, Hosanna to the Son of David, to the Son of David. And the king's coming into his temple, okay? The Son's coming to his house. And in a certain sense, it's almost like the ark is being carried in, praise God, finally into his home. So verse 10, when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And all the city is moved, and the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And this is just an awesome sentence. And Jesus went into the temple of God. So it's almost like here you have the person who was supposed to live there walks into his house.
Amen.
The ark that this thing was built to house, just the presence of God just walked in to what was created to be for him and him alone. And what does he do? He casts out everything that's sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them. In other words, when the Son came in, everything that was taking his place in his house went out, you know, mm-hmm. just like that, which is just an automatic, right? But that's not the good part. I mean, it is good, yes, but and said unto them, it is written, my house. So how cool is that? He says, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Well, praise God, that's the Abba crying out, Abba Father in his house. Who, you know, that's Christ in us. But you have made it a den of thieves. So listen to who responds to this. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Now, this is after he's just walked into the temple. The whole city's been moved at him coming. They're all shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. They don't know who he is, so they're asking, who is this? He goes in his temple and he throws this big fit and just blows everything out of the temple. And at this time, the priests and the Pharisees and everyone else are probably going, what? They're just like, get me out of here, you know? Get me out of here, because that was probably their doves and their, you know, whatever, I don't know, but they were, you know, they weren't the ones. But the blind and the lame.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, they were the ones, when the real one walked into the temple, who said, hey, I want to get close to you. The ones who had it all together without the son in his house, had nothing to do with him. They were probably freaked out that someone just ruined everything that was going so well in their life. But the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. And look, he healed them. Hallelujah. I mean, I guess the emphasis the Holy Spirit has for us tonight is that they knew that they couldn't walk, they couldn't see until the Son was in his house, which is us. We are his house. And so when he came in and everything looked scary and everything looked undone and he seemed to be ruining everything, to them it wasn't destruction but hope. I'm blind, but now I see. And I have this written here. Our blindness and lameness is in relation to not seeing the Son who fills the temple, whose house it is. In other words, we're blind and lame. In fact, maybe one of the blind person or lame people was a Pharisee that said, I never realized I was blind. I never realized I was lame. But now that I see the Son who was always meant to be the one filling the house, I realize that my walk has been lame. I realize that my eyes have never really seen. And so he goes, I'm blind. I'm lame. I thought I had this great walk. I thought I had this 20/20 vision. And all I saw was all this junk going on in the temple, all this religion. And I thought that was glorifying God. But now that the real one has walked in and taken his rightful place and driven out all these shadows and lies, I realize I'm blind and I'm naked and I'm undone. So they walk up to him and they say, I haven't been walking according to you, feeling. I've been lame in my walk. I've been blind in my eyes. Heal me. And it says, Jesus healed them. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That is just incredible, isn't it?
It is.
And when the chief priests and the scribes saw, and listen to the words, the wonderful things that he did, that was called wonderful, even by the chief priests and the scribes. This is wonderful. And the children were crying where?
In the temple
saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. I mean, what the kids are going, the Son of David is in the house, filling the house. Glory to God in the highest. The children, they were sore displeased. Who's sore displeased? The scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests and scribes. Number one, they see this wonderful thing. They call it wonderful in the scriptures. They see children so affected by eternal purpose being fulfilled in front of their eyes. Mm-hmm. They're crying out, Hosanna to the King, Son of David. And they're sore displeased by this. Not just a little upset, it's sore displeased. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Do you hear what these kids are saying? And Jesus answers them. Mm-hmm. Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? That is perfect praise that Jesus is filling his house. And he's making people who are lame and blind be filled with the Son. Their walk, their feet, their eyes are getting healed. And the next sentence is kind of sad. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. In other words, he did not have a permanent place in his house yet. So he had to go about 15 furlongs outside of the city to some people who were his friends, who did want him there. And it gets even sadder in the next verse, but that's not really the purpose of our sharing. But he was hungry the next morning, and he went to a fig tree, which is a picture of Israel, and type and shadow, and there was no food on it. So, in other words, he kind of left high and dry by the people who were meant to be his house. But But that's not our point tonight. The point is, in his temple, the lame were healed when they saw the Son was meant to be the fulfillment of their walk, you know. And so now let's go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 1. And here is just a very similar similar story. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So that's just awesome right there. They're going up to the temple. It's the hour of prayer, which, you know, in the New Testament, in our lives, the hour of prayer is really Christ praying through us to his Father, you know, really. And that's the Abba, you know, truly, truly. In verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So here's this guy who from birth has not been able to walk, but every day he has been laid at the gate, you know, the entrance to the temple at this gate called Beautiful. So all these people are going in there and just getting beautiful, seeing the beauty of the Lord. Remember on Sunday that I'm going to inquire in his temple and behold his beauty and one thing. And just imagine if these people are going in there and they're like David. They're walking in there like panting for the Lord, like a deer, you know, for the water. They're going in there, they're inquiring of the Lord in his temple, seeing his beauty, being filled with his life, and walking out the door and this guy's going, can I have just an alms, please? Just share a little bit of what you've got. You know what I'm saying? And every day he sees these people going in the gate Beautiful into the temple of the Lord. I mean, that's our union. Inquiring, filling up, communing with God, coming out, glowing, filled with life, leaping, and I don't know. And he goes, with his little lame, shriveled up legs, can I just have a little... Could you share a scripture with me, please? His whole life, you know. And then verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. So these are two guys here who have been inquiring of the beauty of the Lord pretty good. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. Man, this guy didn't know who he was running into that day. Look on us. What does that mean? When I was reading that today, the Lord said, look on us. And I felt like what he was saying wasn't, we're Peter and John. We're great disciples. We're really spiritual. I felt like he was saying, look at us. We can walk. We have feet. Look at us. We're walking. You know, not look at us. We're great. We're apostles. We're walking. In verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So he was thinking, oh, they're going to give me some money here or something. Oh, money. They're going to give me some money. But then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Because he's telling them, I don't have money. I'm not going to give you some alms. But what I have I give to thee. What do they have? The ability to walk. Walk in the temple. Hey, the only way you can walk in the temple is when you have Christ is your life. I mean, we just saw that, you know, in whatever, Matthew. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to thee. Well, he says it, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Do you see the correlation there? Rise up, I want you to walk. Walk and be one with Jesus. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled, there's that word again, with wonder. It's a wonder when this happens in someone's life. And amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together. Listen to those words. They ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And after that, Peter preaches Christ to him. He takes that opportunity. But how amazing to see that the Lord wants to bring us into such a relationship of oneness with him. even before we can walk, we come to this point where we realize it's got to be Christ. And it's not something that we do by our own strength or our own wisdom or our own merits. You know, His gentleness has made me great, like David said in Psalm 18. This is something of the Lord's grace in our lives, where He gathers us in and He takes us into a whole new walk. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. And I really feel like the spirit of what Paul experienced really does answer to this. And I love it. You know, at one point Jesus said, "Father, thank you that you have revealed this to the babes." You guys remember that? Not to the wise and the prudent.
Mm.
It's the same spirit that's happening in the temple, because when you really see it outside of a religious view, but in a real setting in the earth, there were so many people that thought they knew the Lord in that temple. There was so much going on. And when this Jesus, it's specifically said in Matthew 21, Jesus of Nazareth, they were saying, "Son of David, Hosanna, Son of David, Hosanna, Son of David." But when the people asked, all the people of the city asked, "Who is this Son of David?" they specifically said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Well, Nazareth is this no good, nothing town. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So this little Nazarene, son of a carpenter, nobody, nothing, is being heralded as the Son of David. Okay? The king. And he's coming in there causing all this fuss, turning over tables, changing up the whole temples, this holy place, sacred ground for a Jew. Okay? The only people that are not sore displeased at this upheaval of their relationship with God is the cripples and the blind. Now, I'm telling you, that's something. That really is something. And there were a lot of people that were going into that temple through the Gate Beautiful, and they weren't inquiring of the Lord. They were just doing their religious duty. But it was a crippled man that Peter and John, who were specifically anointed and ordained of God to bring life to the church, he was the one they fastened their eyes upon and gathered up into life and gave a new walk to that man. There's something really wonderful about the Lord revealing these things to, and the babes, the children saw it. The lame received it, the blind accepted it, the chief priests hated it, and no one else could get it. But the children and the lame partook of resurrection, because they said, "I am not the one." Just like David said in Psalm 18, "You have made my feet. You have given me, you have enlarged my steps." All glory to the Son. Because they said, "It is obvious in this temple I am not supposed to be standing. Only the Son. In this temple, He is the one who fills it. Not me. No matter how much I can walk, no matter how much I can see, no matter how much I can priest and whatnot. This is the Son's house. And I'm not supposed to live where He's supposed to live. I'm supposed to be joined into Him." See what I mean? And that's where Galatians chapter 1 comes in. Let's see, in verse 15 and 16, which is such a familiar verse to all of us. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Flesh and blood, our walk, our strength, our ability to commune with God, our ability to do the service of God, our ability to overtake our enemies until they are consumed, our ability to walk in the high places where only the holy dwell. Even the angels tread with fear. But that's in Christ. That's by the Son. And see, He's coming to this place where He's realizing, "I am so crippled, I am so blind, I am so not the one, that by grace, His gentleness has made me great. I have separated from all that I am, from my mother's womb even, and my Father has revealed in His temple, in His house, the Son who was meant to fill it always and only." Hallelujah. And I preach Him. And you know, I was reading in the later chapters of the book of Acts, like in the 20 to 27-ish areas towards the end, Paul walked through hell. Mm. When he tried to go up to Jerusalem, and he noticed, I'm sorry, but in Matthew 21, Right where I started reading, if you remember, it said, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Do you remember that was a... Okay. Well, it says the same thing of Paul in Acts 20-something. It says he was going up to Jerusalem, and Agabus came and said, don't go up to Jerusalem. Chains and imprisonment await thee. His disciples cried at the Ephesus church and said, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to torment you there, persecute you. And he says, are you all trying to break my heart? I have to go up to Jerusalem. So he goes up to Jerusalem, and they say, hey, listen, you need to go ahead and offer an offering with the Jews so they know that you're not trying to just make this thing all Gentile, but the gospel is one. He does that. Everybody explodes. They beat him. They try to kill him. The Romans get him. He goes to Egypt. And then these men go on a fast, and they're not going to eat until they kill him. And then they try to kill him. And then they get beaten. And it's just one. And then he gets on ship. It's just like one thing after the other after the other. As this man, the Galatians 1:15-16 man, who the son is now in, as he tries to go up to Jerusalem, you know, where it's supposed to be acceptance, all hell breaks loose. But he has feet. He has hind feet. He has a walk that can walk through any hell, any persecution, any opposition, and bring forth the purpose of God in his life, which is what David did for his generation, which is what Paul did for his generation, which is what we need to do for our generation. But where do we get feet that can walk like that? That can leap over a troop? That can press through what we could never press through in our own strength? We get that from being so little and so lame, so blind, and so not the one, that with the very babes and the children, we cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And we say, heal me. I am not the glory. This is not my house. You are the one, and I was meant to house you. Give me your feet. Give me your walk. Give me your eyes. Give me your son. Give me your Abba. Give me you. And he says, and he healed them. And he healed them. And the children started praising God. And everyone just freaked out. And it's so cool that the priest said, did you hear what they're saying, Jesus? Did you hear what they were saying? We want to take our steps of faith. We want to cross the Jordan. We want to walk up to Leviathan. We want to get out of the places and the ruts in our lives where we just are so entangled with our own flameness. Our feet are in a very small place that we can't get out of. But we can't do that. We can't even take our first little step of faith to come away. You know, that's our first lesson. Come away. Well, we can't even come away until we have a foot, some kind of footing with the Lord that will give us the strength to take one step and then another. And so, you know, a little Much Afraid, she was crippled, she was lame, but she had faith to receive strength that was not her own, to receive the voice that was saying, I'm calling you unto, not unto me where you need to walk and get there by your own merit, but I'm calling you to partake of my grace and glory, my life, my strength. You know, I want to impart to you leaping. You know, it's just like what Emmy shared. He touched our legs and we will leap. Remember what the Spirit gave you? We were lame. And it's that same essence. It's that same word from the Spirit of God. He's touching us and he's giving us legs that aren't lame, that will leap, that can walk. And, you know, so we want to take our steps of faith and we want to muster up strength. But instead of mustering up strength, just be like the little babes in the temple and cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David. What are you saying? You're the Son of David. You're the Ark. You're the one who is supposed to come into the house and fill it. Perfected praise. You just say, look, I can't do this. Hosanna to the Son of David. Come into the house. Fill the house. Heal the house. Fix the feet. Just let me leap and dance and shout to God through these beautiful gates of oneness that you've made me one, made us your house, amen. That's our cry. And you know, we can't impart that to others, we can't walk that in our own lives until we have partaken of so much grace, so much gentleness, so much long-suffering from our Father that he has, by his grace, revealed his Son in us, given us his Son. And oh my, we will have such a, you know, when you're a child, which is just a least one, not wise, just little. When you're a lame, not a strong one. When you're a blind, not one that really sees anything. And then it's all the grace of God to show you that, hey, my son is everything. Hey, my son is everything. You've got something to impart to people that's life then. Because the son does live. He gives. He is. And so don't despise your lameness. Don't despise your blindness. Don't despise your lack. just in your spirit cry, Hosanna to the Son of David, heal me, fill me, give me those feet to walk, to leap, and let me do it in your temple. What does that mean? Because I'm one with you, because you're filling me, because I'm your house. And he will, because it says it in the Word of God. And he healed them. That's for us today. Those are God's words to us today. The same today, yesterday, and forever. His word is exalted above his name. So this is something we can bank our lives on and rest our faith in. So does anyone have anything? I know that went fast, but it is what the Lord gave me. Does anyone have anything that would just bless and edify and add to what the Lord's saying for all of the hearts here?
There are, this is for all practical purposes, there are some people in the body right now who are entering the temple. This is for all practical purposes, mm-hmm. the way based on what was being shared. This is the picture that I was getting of, and it might be you. I know of specific people who in this sense are feeling lame and blind. And they are right now coming into the temple. And based on the Word of God, they're going to be healed. And we need to have faith for those people. And you might be one of them. And if you are one of them, you need to get in. We need to look at ourselves in that way and go, okay, I'm going in. And it can be, and I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it again for all practical purposes, it can be a breakthrough type thing. If you go, okay, I have been out here. I have been the one watching everybody else into the temple and come out praising the Lord and this and that. Yes. And up to this point, it's been me watching. I've been watching Kelly teach and share, and she does this, and she's always going in the temple. Or I watch Randy or Debbie or, you know, Ben. There's everybody else going in and out the temple, and I'm the one out in the front just hoping to get some drops. The Lord said the temple is here, and he's opened it. And so it's like, in that sense, he's presenting us with a place of going, are you done being lame and blind?
There you go.
If you're done, then let's go into the temple.
Yeah.
Let's go. And then things happen. They change. Just because the guy, the laying there, his life was forever changed. Think about it. Do you think anything about his day-to-day situation was the same? No, nothing. Because he's no longer laying in front of he doesn't have to have somebody put him there. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to have somebody bring him food. He doesn't have to, just sit there all day. I mean, every aspect of his life was different because he went in the temple and he was like Jesus was healing people, the blind and the lame. I know that's meshing two stories together, but in my heart, I immediately saw the picture of these specific people that I have been praying for and holding in my heart that are going into the temple, and I believe they're going to have a change. And I just think, oh my gosh, let's not leave anybody. Let's not watch everybody else go in and just still sit there going, I'm just still lame. Well, I'm more lame than him. Or I'm more lame than her, and so maybe she has more strength, or she has a reason to do this, or she's got this support group, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our reasons, but I just really felt like something of a breakthrough can be there for us if we choose to not stay as the one watching everybody else go in and out of the temple.
That's right.
And going, man, they're lucky or whatever.
That's
but
right.
I'm going in. Get everything else. I'm ready to receive. You got Jesus? Okay, I'm coming to get it. I'm pulling it out of you. Pulled it out of Peter and John in that sense. She's got Jesus, just like you two are doing. That person's got Jesus. I'm taking it. I'm going to pull Jesus out of you, because when, just like the spark is happening between the two of you by life, if you pull Jesus out of her, it's going to start a flow in her that's going to turn around, and she starts pulling juice out of you, and then there's just going to be this flow. The wells are going to bubble.
That's right.
Right?
That's cool.
And so when we're pulling, and, I'm sorry if I'm going
please
but
do.
I just really had that sense of, okay, if Peter and John are walking by, it's time to start pulling Jesus out of them and say, I'm going with you. I'm not going to sit anymore. And there are people making that decision in their heart as we speak, and they're moving against themselves, against what they have known for a long time, the ruts that they've been in, the views that they have had, the ways that they have thought about even people, places, things, whatever it is. Whatever it is, they're moving. And I know in my heart, I'm one of those people right now. And it is my heart to bring everybody else.
That's right.
To bring everybody else. And not that it would be me bringing, but for us to go together.
Yeah.
For us to go together. And I believe that everything can be different.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Everything can be different. Mm-hmm. Just like walking on the earth is completely different from flying in an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Mm-hmm. The view, the way you would relate, every single aspect is different.
That's right.
Cool.
And when you have that different view, everything is different. I mean, it's just...
That's right. That's so right.
But the faith to believe that we can go together, that we can pull the Jesus out of each other, to bring each other, to go in, for breakthrough to happen in our lives, of saying, I'm going in the temple and I'm not coming out.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
The first scripture you started with, it says that God is the one that gets us the hind feet. And then it sets us securely in the heights.
Yeah.
So the healing is getting the hind feet that secures you in the heavens.
So good.
It's really good.
And if it's the children and the weak ones that are getting healed, then everyone should enter in. Everyone should enter in.
I'm a candidate.
This is the time. And you know what? This was just days after Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
Let's do it. Let's believe. Let's release this. I mean, what's stopping us? Nothing. So you just join on in now with your prayers. I'll start. You just join in. Father, we just thank you for... And when you speak, Father, you break the cedar wood in half. You break the cedar wood. What is cedar wood? It is hard wood that nothing gets through, but God's word gets through because it's more powerful than the strongest man, and it's more powerful than the weakness of man. That is Christ released into his temple, which is his body. And we believe right now, Lord, that this word came from your heart, not to just be a memory or a stirring of our emotions or even our spirit, that you spoke this word to bring forth a change in our lives, and that change is an increase of your Son. And Lord, we receive it with a faith that lines up with the word of God and its eternal purpose as spoken from the mouth of God. You have two witnesses, Lord, in the room, but then you had 10 witnesses in the scriptures, and they all said, yes, God will do this. Is his will. He will do it. Your gentleness, your grace, all of it speaks not of our ability, but of your heart to complete this work by grace, by the revealing and the filling of your Son and his people. So, Father, right now we ask that you, where your Holy Spirit would be released in a whole new way in the lives of every person that the Spirit is bringing right now. We don't have to know who they are. You know exactly who they are. But right now you be released in their life in an entirely new way, in a much greater reverence. You bring them in. Yes, bring them into the temple. Bring them into the temple. Yes. Move by your Spirit. Lord, we said, reject that identity as a lame one. Everybody knew that man as the lame guy. He was the lame guy, the lame guy. He had to say, no, I'm not the lame guy. I'm not the lame guy. I'm not. I'm the one that leaps in the temple. I'm one of the leapers. And we just want to say no to just any that just says, you're the lame guy. You're the lame guy. You can't ever break with being the lame guy. We just come against that in the name of Jesus, and we say, no. That's not what the Word of God said. That's not what the heart of Jesus says. That's not what happened in the Bible. That's a total lie. And let the Spirit of God overwhelm their heart with faith. Faith and vision to see what God really has for them and who they really are in the temple. Move by your Spirit right now on them, Lord, and in them, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, there would not be one person begging for alms at the gate beautiful at the conference, that every person would enter into the gate and leap in the name of Jesus. Lord, that there would be no alms given, that there would be leaping and shouting and praising God in the temple by every single person who comes, Lord. They would enter in to Jesus himself. No alms. There's not alms this time, not little nuggets. Lord, that they enter into life in the name of Jesus. We release that right now in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, over every last person who comes, child, adult, teenager, no beggars, no beggars at this conference, no beggars in the name of Jesus.
Lord, show me an alternate view, a switch. If you are one who has been giving alms to the lame and not giving the living Jesus, it's time to stop. It's time to stop. If you are one, when you see lameness or you see blindness or you see this or that, and you just give out little alms, and you're not giving the living Jesus that is the resurrection life, it is time to stop. In the name of the Lord, we say yes. Life-giving Spirit, your life-giving Spirit is what brings it. It brings them into the temple, Lord Jesus. May we be faithful to fill up on you, and not just little nuggets and things like that, Lord, in ourselves and our soul and stuff. And even as I don't allow my child to suck her thumb throughout the day because she's filling her soul, Lord, may those little things that we fill ourselves with and that we help fill other people with, may we start to call attention and address those things within ourselves and in our family and in others, that we're saying no more allowance of the little alms and the little things that just get us by from day to day. It's not enough anymore. It's not enough anymore. We must have resurrection life. We must have it. We will not have it. We must have it in the name of Jesus. In our families, in our children, in our spouses, Lord, in our teams for the conferences, the way we relate with body members, Lord, the Bible school, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, resurrection life, infiltrating, filling, and flowing, moving, Lord. Resurrection, no more alms. No more alms. No more alms. Thank you, Lord.
Peter fastened his eyes on that man. He fastened his eyes on him. And he says, I will not give you an alm. I will give you what I have. A new walk. Thank you, Lord. There's something in that he fastened his eyes. He didn't look at him like a beggar. He did not look at him like a beggar. He fastened his eyes and said, you are one with the risen Christ. I see you as one with the risen Christ, and you will rise up and walk in resurrection today. I give you what I have. I have a walk in resurrection, and I give that to you. Lord, that is what Kathy said. Yes, and I say yes. Yes, and amen. Fasten our eyes. We fasten our eyes on those who don't walk, and we give what we have, a walk of resurrection in Jesus' name.
His arm is not short that he cannot save. And he has brought deliverance through the Son of the cross. His ear is not deaf, and he has heard your prayers tonight. They have not fallen on deaf ears. Your prayers are not hitting the ceiling and falling back down. Receive what the Lord has done. Receive it by faith.
Thank you.
He has delivered you. Brought you in this day into the temple because of your faith. Believe in him by grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.